Welcome to Outreach Church. Thanks for checking out this week's message. To hear more, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or visit outreachchurch.net for downloads and service information.
Guys, I have a lot to share with you, and I have a little bit of time, but thank God your second service. I want to say this, that I talked to Roy last night. We talked, and he was super excited they had a prayer thing up there the other night, and a lot of stuff is happening up in New Hampshire, New Ipswich, and he's so excited about what's going on, but he also wanted to tell me he's super excited that the fireman is here today, but he said he wanted to tell you that he misses you and that he will be back Sunday, but that he loves you, and he is just super excited about what God is doing and all the growth in our church. You know, we're in an amazing season. Like David said, you know, we're before the burning bush, you know, and we're in a historic moment, not only, I believe, for our own lives, but for the nations. I believe not only the nations, but Greenville's future. I believe that there's people in here, and I believe that literally ministries, businesses, witty ideas, inventions are in the midst of this little bitty church. I will dare to prophetically say that I believe that many people have been given vision. Many people have been given prophetic words or dreams from God or from prophetically multiple times from other people. And I just want to declare over you that I know that some are sitting in here with almost like dynamite from heaven. There's packages in you, there's gifts in you that are waiting to be unraveled. And I just want to dare with you to dream with, I want to say dare to dream with me today. And I want to encourage you, I believe we're in a moment where Peter looked out and he saw Jesus standing on the water, and it was kind of foggy and stormy. And I believe that we're in a moment where Jesus is saying, come, like the burning bush moment, where we have to move, we have to take a step. Moses had to do something. God asked him to take the sandal off first. So we have to take any time in faith. In the kingdom, everything is by faith. But there has to be movement. Faith is alive. Faith is not dead, right? We have an alive faith, and it's active. It's moving in power, and it does. I don't mean to spit on you guys, but I'm baptizing Merle right now in Jesus' name. You know he's out of the Lutheran church, so you guys get baptized as babies, so I'm going ahead and baptizing them as an adult. But yeah, so just kidding. But hey, I want to welcome everybody that's online watching, even and also those in overflow. Woo woo! I just feel the fire. I feel the anointing. I feel that God is truly going to do something today, and I'm super excited and thankful. And man, it is an honor. Like God allows me to be able to share a lot of different places. But it's weird. I was thinking the first service, man, I've been speaking in some amazing, huge places with thousands of people, and I still get a little frightened when I speak in my home church. But praise the Lord. I mean, that's how much I honor this place. And so I'm thankful that God allows us to go different places, but it's truly an honor to be here, to sit up under Pastor Roy and Patty and the whole leadership team. And I'm thankful to be a part of this church. I'm thankful. I know that I'm supposed to be preaching, but I just want to say I'm thankful that many of you have walked with me through some really tough times in my life. And I'm thankful, and I'm so thankful that we have, and I want to do that in return with you. And I wouldn't be where I am today if it wouldn't be for many of you. And so I say thank you. And we wouldn't be able to go to many nations. Scott and Rando and different ones of us who get to go a lot, we wouldn't be able to go if it wasn't for this church. You guys have given a lot of money and a lot of prayers. And I'm super thankful that other nations are being super impacted. And man, now Roy's famous over there, and there Scott and Rando, all these people are getting pictures over there, and people were like, hundreds of people were having to take photos even before we left the last service, like Megan and all these people that went with us. But, you know, they're asking for Roy to come to Nicaragua with me, and like people, they're wanting training. These pastors are just so passionate. Can you imagine? I felt like the Lord told me to tell you to stay hungry. Why are we seeing what we're seeing in these nations? Because they're hungry. We need to stay hungry. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what storms we face, man, I pray those things drive you to hunger. I pray those things drive you to the deep places of God. You know what? When Jasmine had the accident, the tragedy that happened, you know what happened? It drove me to the deepest place of God for my life. And I'm still there. I'm not quitting. I'm not letting up. And months before that, I had made a determination to pray and to seek God multiple times a day in my life. And I made a decision that I was never going to lose the fire again. Because about a year or so before, my marriage was in a wreck. My life was in turmoil. And Jasmine was even questioning, saying, man, what are you doing? I'm thinking like, man, I don't know if I want to be married anymore because of your actions. And you're not the man of God that I married. And I had to begin to evaluate my life. And I had to come quickly realize that I was not in the place that I should have been. I already knew that I wasn't in the place. Every day was miserable. I was trying to drown out the voice of God for my life. I was doing it through pleasures of life and all these different things. But the reality is, no matter how much I drowned out the voice of God, it would never drown it out. No matter what I tried, no matter how far I tried to run, no matter how much money I made in business, I was still miserable. I remember many days I was traveling to Atlanta and Chicago multiple times a week. I would travel to do business deals, to measure certain things with the company I was with. And every day as I was on the highway, all I thought about was getting out preaching the gospel. And I'm not saying everybody in here that's in business, you shouldn't be. No, what I'm saying is today, the point I want to make is that, man, each and every one of us have a purpose and a vision for our life. God has determined it. Everything God makes has a purpose. You have a purpose. I have a purpose. And then each one of us have a vision. God has given each one of us a vision. And today, the heart of today, I want to ask you, are you living that vision out? Are you walking out the purpose of God for your life? And to some, that looks like being an evangelist. To some, that's for Roy, that's pastoring this church. For some, like David, is inventing underwear. That's amazing, right? Special knit underwear. For some, it's like Merle designing and building houses and business. But he's still a part of the kingdom. So many times we separated so much stuff. But I just believe that there's so much potential in this church. I really believe that I already know that the nations are already hearing the name of Outreach. It's already happening. I mean, God is doing so much. A man from Kentucky and a man from London and a man, they're already hearing. We're on global television, TV shows, and we're doing these events. Roy's teaching these pastors. And not only to count, just our Facebook things are going all over the place. But guys, I believe God has a specific plan for you. And I want to ask you today, are you living that? Is the grass growing in that area? Because I believe we're at that burning bush moment. We're at the Jesus moment in the storm where the boat is rocking, but they're staying in the security of this boat, and Jesus is on the water. And he's saying, come. And today, I want to dare you, I want to challenge you and ask you to dare to step out of comfort, to step out of what you thought you've known, and dare to dance upon the waters of history. I believe that God has a plan for you and I in this hour. You know, I know that COVID-19 and all those things have become so big to the world, they're so little to Jesus. Gee, we serve a grander, greater God than Corona. Actually, our King is the one that carries the crown. They asked us, all these news stations came out the last trip we had it 2 weeks ago, national news and stuff, and they came out and they asked us, they said, why are you here? And I said, because I believe the greatest pandemic has swept the nations. And they said, well, tell us about it. And I said, well, I don't believe it's Corona. I believe the greatest epidemic, the greatest pandemic that's going on right now is lives that are lived without Jesus. Guys, I want to ask you, and I want to beg you even to stay hungry. Stay like a child before your Father. Man, stay in His presence. Man, get addicted. Man, if I go a couple hours without connecting with Jesus, just a couple of hours, sometimes just an hour, just a moment without Him, I start jonesing like I did when I used to be on drugs. I'm not kidding. I start twitching and thinking, it's just like, man, I love to be with God. I love to be in His presence. He's in me at all times, but I love to purposely move everything out of my day and say, just You, Jesus. I want to dare you to do that. Even when you leave tonight, get in your room, get in your prayer closet where you say, well, Wayman, I'm a single mom and I don't have time, or I have all this stuff. I'm a single dad, but I make time. See, many of us have lived our lives, we've allowed Jesus to come and to be a part of our life. But the reality is we build our lives around the King. That's what we're supposed to do. And so, guys, I want to ask you to carve out hours, carve out time, get up early and spend time with Jesus. Man, you don't have to ask me or beg me to do that. I run to it. I'm like a crackhead looking for a piece of crack. I'm running after Jesus. I'm just being real. Like, I have to have Jesus. And that's what God created us to do. We're created to be addicts of God. We're created to be in a good way, right? And we're created to be passionately in love with God. So guys, get there, man, if you're not there. Man, what a time to be living in. Come on. Man, miracles, I see miracles just in the last couple of weeks that I don't even understand how they happen other than Jesus. I saw people, you saw this lady that had the long dress and she was walking real funny. They carried her up on the stage. She walked paralyzed. They carried her. Saw deaf people here. Mute people that couldn't even speak for the first time spoke just a couple of weeks ago. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a miraculous God. He truly is. And I just want to say this. Every time I've spent time with Jesus, my life has changed, and that's every day. Not just 20 years ago when I had an encounter. No, listen, we're in the hour where encounter is every moment. We're in the, that's how real it is. That's where we're at. Like, the enemy is bombarding the nations with demonic influence and principalities and powers of darkness and pornography and violence and all these things, I promise you, are bombarding the nations constantly. Every person, every child, everything it can grab and steal and destroy, it's spending all its energy. The Antichrist, all these different things are spending all its energy on trying to get you not to believe who you are. But I want to tell you this. This is a moment for us to go the opposite way. Like, there's a course that's happening in this hour. It's so clear, I see it. And it's the enemy. He's got the earth in a course. And it's set on this horrible course. But the reality is that Jesus is the answer. There's all this energy that God has spent, all this blood of Jesus and the Word of God that has been written from Genesis to Revelations is telling us, as you flip through, who we are, who you are, that you're a king, you're a priest, you're a royal priesthood, you're righteous, you're covered by the blood of the Lamb. You are chosen. You're a chosen generation. You are a son and a daughter of God, and He delights over you. That's what the Word says. Just get in it. Man, that's your ID. It's like I get pulled over one day, and the cop says, I need your license. You know why he asked me that? Because it has my info on it. He wants to know who I am and where I'm from. And then I tell him about Jesus. And they love it, most of them do, because, you know, who doesn't love Jesus, right? But the reality is, He wants to know my identification. The Word of God is your identification. Who are you? You're a son or a daughter of God. Come on. Woo! Come on. Like, man, God is so good. God is so good. There's so much in us. The kingdom is within you. Your vision, your purpose is in you. Everything, did you see those big bags of beans and seeds? Everything in the kingdom is a seed. Like a forest doesn't just become a forest. It's in a little acorn. It's in a seed. And I believe that there's destiny and purpose in you. And in this season, you must step the step of a seed of faith to step into that thing. You don't just wait and say, oh, when I retire, oh, when I do this or do that. No, it's now, guys. It's now. Faith is alive. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans 8 and 1. I love this scripture. I was this man this week. I was all throughout Matthew, and then I was just, I don't know, something just hit me with this thing, and it really just, it just blew up in me, in Jesus' name. Therefore there is now, no, I want us to focus on that. Now, no, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk after the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. And guys, I want to let you know that word condemnation right now over you and I, right now, that word, it means damnatory, it means a sentence, a judgment, it means punishment, it means curse, it means to avenge, to judge, to render something, you know, like a judgment or a sentence upon you. But now there is none. There is no condemnation. Come on, over you and I. Come on, right? Doesn't that excite you? Come on. Like, I am not guilty. You are not guilty. Man, every warrant that you and I had against us, right? Like, when you do something bad, I had a few, where's Chad at? I had a few warrants years ago, and thank God Jesus stood in the place of those warrants, those indictments against my life. You and I, because of the breaking of the law, we had indictments against us. Man, we were sentenced to death, to discouragement, to depression. Sick, it's nasty. But Jesus said, I love you so much. You are so valuable to my Father and I and the Holy Spirit that I'm going to go and I'm going to take your punishment. I'm going to go in the courtroom and I'm going to stand in your place and I'm going to take your punishment and I'm going to become sin so that you can become the righteousness of my Father. You are righteous. You are clean. You are forgiven. You are no longer a slave of sin, but now, guess what? Praise God, hallelujah. You are a slave to righteousness. You are called to good works. You are created for God's pleasure, and He delights over you. He truly delights over you. You are the apple, Merle, of His eye. And if anybody walked in with shame on you today, I rebuke that thing right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke condemnation off of you right now. Any heaviness, overflow, or online, wherever you are now, that now there is no condemnation over you to those who are in Christ. We're in the anointing. That's what the word Christ means, the anointed one. We are in the anointing forever and for always. We are righteous. We are clean. We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. There never has to be another sacrifice. Brandon doesn't have to go out back and kill another lamb. Jesus has set us free. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that alone is worthy of us being joyful about every day. It is no longer you and I, but Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. Do you know that when Jesus stood on the cross, that he nailed every verdict, every handwritten verdict that was against you, every handwritten thing that was on the wall, it was nailed to the cross. It was nailed, every lash, every nail that went through his hand, every thorn that poked through the Jesus of Nazareth's head. Guys, I want to tell you, you are valuable. The Bible says in Romans 8, it says, if God has given up his own son for us or for you, what would he not give? He gave up Jesus for you and I. The Father of creation, of all of existence, is screaming, you are mine and you are valuable. And I'm showing you how much you're valuable. I give up my beloved son for you. I'm telling you, you are so loved. You are so loved. And I'm telling you, that love, that powerful love, is going to enable us to conquer these moments that we face in this hour. Because if he be for us, who can be against us? Come on, right? Colin, run with me. Come on. Let's go. Come on. The time is now. The time is now, Merle. The time is now, Kristen. We don't know how much longer we have. We can't wait till we're 50 or 100. And I believe even in this hour, there's elderly people, and I don't like to use that word, but just people that are a little seasoned more than me. I believe now's your moment. I believe you're going to change the world right now. I don't believe you're to just sit back and let the young people do it. I've been hearing that thing all my life. No, it's now. It's not an age. It's not a color. It's not a nation background or a language background or how much money you got or how many degrees you have. No, it's about your name being washed by the blood. It's about you being washed by the blood and you being a son or a daughter of God. And there is divine purpose and seed in you that is nation changing, city changing. Like there is people that will be healed through your life. Man, there are people that will be delivered and saved through your life. Jesus came as a seed. The Father, everything is by seed. The Father sent his Son into the world and stuck him down in the world and buried him in the earth. You are the seed of his life. Think about that. Over 2,000 years ago, how many people now are sons and daughters of God because Jesus was obedient to the point of death? I don't know about you, but I want to live my life that way. I want to live my life through the obedience of the point of death. Because I don't want to live and have my life worth nothing. I know that there's struggles. I know that there's trials and division and violence and all these things are happening in the world. I know. I know there's COVID. I know there's all these things. People say, why do you preach? Why do you preach and gather these crowds? And, you know, like the news stations came and they're like, why are you doing this? And I said, hey, because I believe the greatest issue right now is Jesus is needed to the nations, right? Because listen, church, we were given a mission over 2,000 years ago, and Jesus didn't say we quit preaching the gospel when COVID comes. No, he said, go into the nations and preach the gospel to all people, to all people groups. Guys, this is the reality. Like, our mission is the same. And I know that there's great struggles and trials in this hour, but the Bible says our present sufferings, come on, can't outweigh our future glory. Come on. That's worth laying your life down. That's worth submitting your life to God, because listen, no eye has seen, no ear has heard the things that he has in store for those that love him. Invest your life. Lay it down today. Every day, every moment. Be on fire all for the rest of eternity. Why just for a moment? Why do we just strive to have one encounter? Let's have them every day. Seriously. Mark your life that way. You know why those people have encounters? I know why I've had encounters in my life, because I demanded them. I said, nothing else can do but Jesus. And it's in that moment when we're hungry, when we say, nothing else will satisfy me, that's when we encounter. Because hunger pulls on heaven. Hunger pulls on God. Faith pulls. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she pulled upon Jesus. She went and touched Jesus. She went and grabbed a hold of him. The blind man said, Son of David, have mercy on me. They said, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, son, blind man. He said, no, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's time to get loud. It's time to push in. It's time to stop allowing limits or chains. It's time to come to that place where he said, no, I'm sick of this old lifestyle. I'm sick of just mediocrity. I'm sick of just halfway. Because I'm not condemned anymore. See, that's the message, you know, the nations. That's the message that they want to hear. Man, that's what draws thousands and people to run towards Jesus, is that, man, that they're not condemned. That they're actually favored. They're actually chosen. They're actually royalty. They're actually God's children. You're blessed. You are favored. You are favored. For the kingdom of God has come near to you today. John the Baptist stood up. He says, repent. Change your mind. Change the way you're thinking. For the kingdom is near. Jesus got on the scene after he's baptized. He began to preach the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I want to tell you today, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is near you, but it's also inside of you. It's now. It's right now. Jesus, they said, Jesus, teach us to pray, because, man, we notice that you're such a prayer warrior. When you go to pray, we see people get healed. We see all this stuff happening. Teach us to pray. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come now, right here. That's my prayer today. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's right now. It's right now. Jesus told Peter, he said, come. Come. Blind Bartimaeus knew that he could not let Jesus pass by. I want to tell you today, brothers and sisters, do not let Jesus pass you by today. Get loud if you have to. Flip over a mattress. Whatever you got to do. I did it one time. I was praying on my knees. I said, God, I gotta have you now. Gotta have you now. I need to hear your voice now. And I was so desperate. I was so desperate for a voice from God. Guys, have you ever been desperate? Man, you need to get desperate. You need to get hungry. Because many of us thought we're good in America, you know, but man, look at all these people. And getting up, can you imagine 130 pastors? Pastors gathering at 5 a.m. in the morning, putting their churches aside, putting their kingdoms aside, and saying, man, I'm believing for revival for my city. I'm believing people coming together every morning, praying. It's hunger. They're believing for Jesus to do something. That's where we need to stay. That's where we need to be. And I want to ask you today, are you hungry? Because if you're not, Jesus will pass you by. Jesus passed many people by. But it was the desperate ones. The ones he even told the lady, he said, hey, I've come for Israel. And she said, but yeah, Even dogs eat off the crumbs off of the table. And he's like, woman, your faith. Mary of Magdalene runs into a house. Can you imagine this? A woman so desperate, so hungry to touch God. She doesn't even ask to come into a house. She runs in. She runs in the house. And she says, I got to get to Jesus. And she falls at the feet of Jesus and busts the jar of perfume, of oil that has been given, made from prostitution. But she doesn't care. She says, I got to get to his feet. Will you? Will you ever be that desperate? I want to tell you, I don't want to waste my life. I want to live desperately before him. Not in a place like that I don't have him, but in a place to know how much he's, how valuable he is. How real is our King? Do you know the other day as Roy and them last week as they were up here, all I could see was the throne of God. They were up here, David and Roy, or Zach and Roy, last week, and all I could see was the throne of God. The throne of God, day and night, night and day, those eyes, those seraphims, those angels, the greatest men and women of God that had ever walked the face of the planet will be sitting on thrones in the heavens. But yet, they fall down at the awe of the supreme majesty of our King. When they see him, their bodies quake like dead men because they see how awesome he is. They see how holy. The one who holds the stars in his hands. The one that gives us a heartbeat every moment. The one that supplies the nations with food every day. They see him, they gaze upon him, and they fall like dead men. John even said in Revelations, John, who had known Jesus in the earthly state, said that when they heard the voice, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day on the island of Patmos for preaching the gospel. He was in chain and in prison for preaching the gospel. He says, I was in the Spirit seeking the Lord on the day while I was in prison. And I heard a voice that said, come up hither. Guys, we need encounters. Ezekiel was on the river, the Chebar River. They were in prayer. And all of a sudden, he's called up into the throne room. Visions. Isaiah, on the year that King Uzziah died, he says, I saw the Lord. And he was high and lifted up. And the train of his robe, my God, smoke and billows of fire. The pillars shook. The train of the robe of God filled the temple. They fell like dead men. He said, whoa, I'm a man with unclean lips. My point is, if we really know majesty, scepters of righteousness. He reigns forever. There is no limit to his kingdom. Why do the nations rage and plot and plan against our God? And he laughs. He laughs because people are so ignorant. I've been so ignorant. He reigns. He is so worthy for us to lay our lives down. Invest your life. Jesus even tells us, he's so wise, you know. I know there's financial people in here and some have advised me about my little bit of money. Some may have advised you about your little bit of money. Jesus says this. Look at the birds of the air. They don't have barns. They don't sow or they reap, or sow nor do they reap. But he says, your Father in heaven takes care of them. And he says this. He says, look at Solomon in all of his great wealth, the greatest king that we've known, wealthiest man that we've ever known. He says that look at the lilies of the field. They're clothed better than Solomon. Greatest king was ever clothed. And he says, the nations seek after these things. The ethnos, the people groups, they war and they fight. These are two issues that you'll always hear in life is what you eat and what you need clothes, like family needs, right? They're essentials. But he's saying, hey, the nations seek after those things, but not you. Your greatest need, he's saying, infinite wisdom of God. I'm not saying investing in financial matters is wrong. I'm saying Jesus is saying this. Your greatest investment needs to be this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you. Will be added to you. So every day I want to encourage you, the greatest thing you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. I promise you, put Jesus first. Invest your life. Sow your life. I just don't want to tell you to sow your money. Sow your life. Sow your heart, for where your heart is, there your treasure will be. No one knows the hour or the day of his return. But I do believe that we possibly, or our children could possibly, witness the return of our King. And he says these words. He says, hey, he tells a story about how he's this parable about how people have talents and gifts, and there were some people who actually used them, and they invested their talents and their gifts, and it multiplied. And he says that they were good and faithful stewards, servants. But then there was this one who had a gift and was scared to do anything with it. And actually this one particular person they tell in this story, that he tells in this story, buries it for fear. And he says, calls that person a wicked steward, because he didn't invest. They didn't invest what God had given him. Today, I want to ask you, dig that thing up. Dig that talent up. Dig that gift up that's been buried, because you are so talented. You are so gifted because you are made in the image of God. You are some of the most talented beings in the earth because you're made in the image of God. You can do anything. All things are possible to you because you believe. There's nothing that can hinder you because God is for you. The dreams that are in you are huge. Many of us have dreamed or allowed that dream to just float in our mind. And we say, wow, that's just too big. No, I want to tell you, if it's that big, that means it's from God. Because God wants to take these big dreams he's given you, and he wants to do something miraculous with you. Will you dare to get out the boat Will you dare to listen to the fire, that bush of fire that's burning in this hour? Those who are righteous are bold as lions. I want to ask you today, if you feel like the Holy Spirit has spoken to you today, and you feel like that you have a dream or a vision that it is time to step into, would you just raise your hand? Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. There's nothing to be ashamed about. I want to tell you, as you pull that thing out and begin to operate in it, that thing is going to do some amazing, like it's going to demand things. It's going to demand your life. It's going to demand things around you. But it draws things. And you say, well, how can I do it? How can I do it? Guys, I'm telling you, like, the dream that's in you is from God. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to stand up. I want to have people just get around you. We're going to pray for you. Just stand up right where you are. We're going to step into that thing today by faith. By faith. By faith. It's time. It's time. It's time. I want to ask everybody just to get around somebody that's standing today. Just lay your hand on them. Crank the furnace up. Light the fire, Lord. Light the fire in the altar of their heart. Father, we ask for the fire as Elijah asked for the fire as he stood before Israel and all the prophets. He asked God, he asked for the fire to come. God, I ask for the fire to come upon the altar of every heart in this place that dares to stand up and dares to move into the dream and the vision that you have for their life. Lord, I ask for the fire. I ask for the fire, God, to keep them up at night. Lord, the vision. Lord, I just declare, though the vision tarry, it shall come to pass. I prophesy that over your life today. Over those that are watching online and next door in the overflow, I prophesy, though the vision tarry, it shall come to pass. And I just declare today that many are coming to pass today in the name of Jesus. I call forth the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to come upon these visions and dreams and upon each person, these businesses or ministries that are placed inside of people, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus. I call forth the mighty Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. God, I pray you would raise up each and every person in this place in the mighty name of Jesus. And those that are watching online, God, I pray you would raise them up. And Lord, we pray fire, passion and fire to be released in this hour. God, we ask for wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom that's worth more than gold and silver to be released in this hour. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to ask you today, if there's anybody that is watching online, or you're here in this audience, in this church, or you're next door, and I want to ask you today, have you ever truly submitted your life to Jesus? Have you ever truly made him Lord? And I mean not just say a prayer, I mean actually submit your life to him. Devote your life to him. Have you ever truly submitted your life? And if you said, I haven't, preacher, I haven't done that, I want to ask you today, would you? And if that's you, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody in here today that would like to give their life to Jesus? That say, I would like to devote my life. Amen. Well, if that's you today, I want to ask you just to say, God, say, Lord, I give you my life. If you're watching online, if you're next door, I want to ask you, just say this prayer. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I devote my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. I repent of my life and the ways that I've been living. Transform my thinking. Transform the way that I've been living. Fill me with your anointing. Fill me with your passion. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me, God. Make me hungry for your word. Make me hungry for prayer. And Lord, put people around me to help me to walk this journey. I give you my life today. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I want to ask the prayer servants, are you here? Would you stand up, come up front? God is good. God is good. I want to challenge you guys to make your home an atmosphere of revival. Not just here at the church. I want to challenge you not only to make your home, but make your heart good ground. Get hungry. Get hungry. I believe the greatest hindrance from stepping in into the purpose and vision of your life will not be bad things. It will be the difference between good and better. We're good in God. I see great change coming. Great change coming. God has a plan for you, bro. So much. So much. So much. I believe the Lord wants to use your wisdom and knowledge to teach people to invest. In Jesus' name, I speak that over you, but also invest in the kingdom. In Jesus' name, there's principles and things that you know that are applicable in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come near to you today. I love you and I bless you. Can't wait to see you again next week. Thank you for coming. If you need prayer, if you need healing, deliverance, or any type of prayer encouragement, I want to ask you to come to the front. Have an amazing day. God bless you.